Good morning, everybody. This is Tom Stevens with the Union County Daily Digital. We're here today on WDLR on Union County Matters. And today, brought to you, as always, by Mosher's Groceries and Meats, located at 21701 State Route 347 in downtown Raymond. Today, we have on on the ballot, it will be Michael R. Boland, right? But it's Mike Boland who is running for the Republican nomination for the 86th House District for the General Assembly. Is that correct?
Yep.
Thank you for being on with us today.
Hey, thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Do you have a family? Are you educated? Tell us a little about.
Yeah, so I live in Dublin. I got a wife and three kids. My wife's name is Stephanie. I have three kids. Cooper is my oldest. He's 7. And then I have twins, Stella and Colton. They're 4. I'm an electrical engineer. Went to University of Toledo. I've worked at Honda for the last 14 years. Okay. And I've just gotten in politics the last couple years just because of all of the drama that's happened over, the lockdowns and everything.
Have you ever held political office before?
Nope. This is the first office I'm going for.
This is your first time out. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Now I'm on your website. Now I'll plug it for you. It's Mike at fixohiopolitics.com, right? Or no, fixohiopolitics.
That's my email.
No, I beg your pardon. Fixohiopolitics.com is your website, right?
Yep.
Okay. First things first, because I was on the website, you mentioned campaign finance. What needs to be fixed about that?
Yeah. So what needs to be fixed on that is, I think number one, the candidates need to stop taking all the special interest money. My opponent has taken $288,000 from special interest versus $60,000 from individuals. That's 81% from special interest groups. And,
special interests like whom?
So there's the Larry Householder scandal, which was First Energy.
Yeah.
There's all of these special interest groups like the Political Education's Pattern of the Political Arm, and $55,000. What agenda are they pushing, right? And you look across all the politicians across the board. It doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican. They're taking special interests from everybody. I don't think I have the link on my website, but it's on my Facebook page. I tracked all 99 reps, and I looked at some special interest groups across the board, like, dumb stuff like beer and wine pack, right?
Right.
They're giving money to everybody, and it's what are they influencing, right?
So would you be for, like, putting a cap on how much a candidate could spend on any particular race, perhaps, or something along those lines? How would you fix it?
Yeah. I think my biggest thing is I think politicians in general need to, they need to stop taking the money. But the biggest thing I think to fix it is I would like to see itemized receipts on expenditures so people can see exactly where the money is going. And what I mean by that is, I got the campaign finance stuff from Frank LaRose's office, and they consider an itemized receipt just a bank statement of everything listed from the bank account. And when I think of an itemized receipt, I think of when you and I go to Mitre and Mary's Hall, right?
Right.
And every single item on that receipt is listed out. And
sure.
What that does is the money laundering that happens through some of these shell organizations that our politicians are spending money on, it basically forces them to put every single value and every single goods and service they're buying. And then a guy like me who can look at it and say, they spent $5,000 on, advertising, or they spent $5,000 on a graphic designers, but the actual details of that receipt should be shown so we can look and see what they're buying. Like on this one, there's $30,000 to JPL and Associates. I would love to know what did that buy? Because if you look at the Dispatch article that's on there, that's linked to the whole Larry Householder scandal. So what is that specifically, right?
Okay. Well, let's skip on to another one because we have a lot of stuff to cover here. Another thing was, okay, and it kind of ties into this, was election integrity. Do you think there's a problem with election integrity in Ohio, or specifically in Union County, where most of your constituents live, or the would-be constituents?
Is there I think there's discrepancies, and the more questions I ask, the more bad answers I get, or the more pushback I get.
Well, what kind of questions have you asked that you got pushback on?
So one of them, as an example, is I as you can see if you read through the election integrity on my website, I basically want to look at the ins, which is the ballots and the ballot images, and I want to look at the output, which we have is the file that the Board of Elections spits out. I saw some discrepancies, which, like, I don't believe Tracy Richardson got more votes than Donald Trump when you compare just Republican voting in general. Trump was the top of the ticket, and then Jim Jordan, she got more votes than Jim Jordan as well, which I find that hard to believe because everybody's going to vote because of those two guys. So I asked some questions, and I get when I ask the questions, I get snarky responses. And the ballot image is an example, or the physical ballots. A normal citizen like you and me, we can't look at them. They don't have your name on them. They don't have my name on them. And we can't look at them. We can't check any of the stuff that the Board of Elections is doing in detail. So
what would you do about that? Well, I mean, what kind of laws would you push forward that anybody has access to all the ballots? I mean, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, so on the bottom of my election integrity page, a couple key items I have is that the ballot images and the physical ballots, they need to be public record. So if somebody wants to pay, which I was willing to pay for that record and get that, I should be able to have access to that.
Well, I mean, wouldn't that kind of defeat the purpose of a secret ballot, though? Because you could tell by the numbers on the sheets who what ballot that was and how they voted.
Yeah, but your name isn't tied to that ballot. So when you do an absentee ballot, you fill out your ballot, you put it into a white envelope, right? And then that envelope isn't tied to your name whatsoever. That's the whole purpose of that white envelope.
Okay.
And so then when
I'm still trying to get out what exactly is, where's the problem coming in, and how will we go about fixing it? You see, nobody can get in and see the ballots now. I mean, they're locked down. I'm not quite sure I understand.
I gotcha. Yeah. So, again, I don't believe the statistics. I looked through 22 counties worth of data, and only two counties, the state representative had more votes than the president. So I want to check it, basically.
You personally want to check that, or you should there be a team? I mean, because, you obviously can't personally go through 100,000 ballots,
Yeah.
So would you assign somebody to do that? I mean, How would that work?
What I basically said was, when I did this, is I believe Union County had 33,000 ballots.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
On that number.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they had 33,000 ballots. So what my plan would have been is I would have scanned those through a high-speed scanner, and then I would have looked at them individually and basically counted them in the evenings. And I would have had that done approximately in a couple weeks. And I've spent more time arguing with the Secretary of State's office about that than I have just to get the physical ballots and just count them. And, what I'm wanting to do is really simple. It's simply, I just want to count them. I basically want to do a hand count of all the ballots and see what the number comes out and make sure it matches the output of what the Board of Elections is spitting out.
Okay. Yeah, now I understand where you're getting at there. I'm sorry. I'm a little thick sometimes, I'm a reporter. You gotta explain things to me sometimes.
It's for me, it's a techie. It's easy to explain, easy to understand, but it's hard to kind of explain.
the elections are tough, and I understand what's going on. going on there. Now, we're coming up on our break here a little bit, but one of the big things I wanted to ask you about was schools. And I think on the site that you said, literally, the schools are a disaster. How are public schools or any schools in Ohio disaster?
Yep. So what got me started on the schools is the whole mask thing. My kids in kindergarten, or he was in kindergarten when this whole thing started, and they wanted to force a 5-year-old kid to wear a mask all day, for a half day kindergarten. That wasn't going to happen for long term. So he wore the mask for kindergarten, and then we kept fighting it. And I would sit in the school board meetings. Well, I sit here in these school board meetings and I hear some of this other stuff that is getting brought up. And I see the amount of money that's getting spent on some of these directors and some of these programs, like the SEL program is an example of social emotional learning. And I just sit there and I think, I'm like, what is the goal? What is the end goal of this program? And there is no end goal. It's just a general blanket program. They don't have a mission statement. They don't have any deliverables that they're going to be checking upon. They're just implementing this program. And what I realize is the school is loaded. These schools are loaded with all kinds of money that they're getting from the state and federal government. And there's no actual deliverable from that program.
Okay.
And, you know, I
want you to hold on to that thought because we're coming up to break right here. We are with Mike Boland, who's running for the Republican nomination for the Ohio General Assembly seat in the House of Representatives for the 86th District. This is Tom Stevens on Union County Matters. We're brought to you today by Mosier's Groceries and Meats. It's at 21701 State Route 347 in Raymond. We'll be right back after this. Good morning again, everybody. Thanks for coming back to Union County Matters here on WDLR. We're brought to you, as always, by Mosier's Groceries and Meats in downtown Raymond, 21701 State Route 347. We're talking to Mike Boland. It will appear on your ballots as Michael R. Boland. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. It goes by Mike. Like we were just talking about schools. Now, you're talking about the schools have a lot of money, and you say there's very little accountability. Is that right? Am I paraphrasing? Or
yep.
What kind of account? What specifically yep, yeah, are they? Should they be doing that they're not?
Well, one thing that I think they should be doing is all of these programs that they're implementing in the school district. I think that they should be transparent to the taxpayers. One of the things that taxpayers, especially the older folks, say who are retired in Dublin, they say it's very expensive to live in Dublin because of the school taxes. And I don't think people should be struggling paying their tax bill because the school is blowing money on programs that aren't needed. So I think they need to be transparent and they need to spell out specifically on the levy or have multiple levies. What are they spending this money on and define what that program is? And I think if somebody saw the details like on this SEL program, they would say, no, we're not paying this money. It doesn't make sense. We want to focus on the academics. The other stuff that they're doing, some of these books, especially in the elementary schools, the sexualization of the kids in elementary schools, it's ridiculous.
Do you have any specific examples of that going on in the 86th district?
So this was in Dublin schools. So that's technically part of Franklin County. I'm not sure on all of the districts in the 86th district, but there's books that there's kids' books in the libraries and in the school building, in the building, that are just, they're inappropriate. I can send those. I can post them on my website, but they shouldn't be in an elementary school. And my big question to the superintendent and to everybody involved really is if this type of behavior is allowed in the schools, what else is involved? What else is happening that we don't know about? And that's my biggest concern at this point is if people think this is appropriate, you know, the masks, was one, the sexualization of the books, another. What else is going on and what other agendas are occurring that we don't know about? And that's my biggest concern. And we need to push and put an end to it.
What would you do to do that if elected?
So I think we need to put in laws where we can't teach the inappropriate material at a certain grade level. And I
okay,
think,
so you know, I mean, so this legislation would decide on what should or should not be taught in the schools. I mean, that's, you know, committees in the General Assembly, that's where it should come down from rather than the schools.
I think most of the stuff should come from the school board. I think there's a few very high level, like the sexualization material. I don't think that should be in an elementary school. So I think the General Assembly could push that type of issues. But in general, the school boards can take care of most of the issues. But again, the sexualization of the kids needs to be, the sexualization in the books needs to be removed at a certain age level.
Okay. And you're willing, if elected, to do that job as a member of the House of Representatives?
Yep.
Okay. Now, and I know we're bouncing along fast here because I'm a limited amount of time. Next thing on the list was the medical freedom. And you did bring this up a little bit here about your young son having to wear a mask. And, of course, very polarizing issue and so on. But you're also going to say that companies shouldn't be allowed under law to require their employees to get vaccinated.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Does that include all vaccines?
Companies shouldn't be allowed to.
Just some of them.
Say that again.
Does that mean all vaccinations or just certain ones? Like mumps, measles?
Yeah, all vaccinations.
So they shouldn't be able to mandate that, period, right? Oh, that's how you feel?
Not at all.
Would you push for a law to do that? Because there's a lot of companies, you know, that do that right now. So would you make them hire the people back? Would you, you know, push for a law to do that? I mean, is it black and white as I'm making it?
Yep. So I think HB 248, the original intent, I think a lot of the pushback was that the like hospitals, they want to be able to say their people needed to be vaccinated. Right. But my opinion is it's your body. No one has the authority to tell you what to put in your body. And if you look at statistics, especially with the COVID-19 vaccine, is it actually helping you? Is it preventing COVID? So there's a lot of data. You could probably argue either way, but bottom line is that nobody has the authority to tell you what to put into your body, whether it's a vaccine or whether it's the type of foods you eat or whatever. Same thing goes with the masks as well.
With public schools, though, for instance, you have to have a shot record to get in public schools. Would you do away with that mandate?
So you don't have to have shots for the public schools. You can get an exemption form. It's very easy. You can ask to be exempted from all vaccines. And like I said, it's very easy. So they just don't advertise it.
Okay, so so there's already a solution to that. So, you know, you can get your kids in without having vaccines, the rubella or whatever, mumps, measles, all that other stuff. I didn't know there was one place. My kids, when they went to school, first thing they asked for was, you know, their shot records. So
yeah, but and you can tell them that you're exempting your kids from the shots, and you know they'll say, okay, sign a piece of paper and move on.
Okay. What the big thing, of course, and then, you know, you watch the news here lately, was the 10-year-old who had to cross state lines for the abortion. Where do you stand on abortion, just period? Are you completely against it? Are there exceptions that should be made? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, so, I believe that life starts at conception. So I'm obviously against abortion, but I think what needs to be, instead of, you know, swinging the pendulum from one complete side to the other, I think what needs to happen is we need to actually list out every single case that we want to say, hey, we're going to accept this case or we're not going to accept this case, right? And I think ultimately the people can vote on whether or not that individual case is acceptable within the state. So the whole Roe versus Wade thing actually brings it back to the state,
yeah,
the authority back to the state. So what would be interesting, and which is what I think should happen, is I think that we should be allowing the general population to decide. And let's say, hey, if for that 10-year-old girl one as an example, if the general population votes on that specific issue, right, and votes that they're okay for it on that one, then so be it. The people decided, right, not the politicians. But all we do is we sit there and use this as campaign material back and forth, and we fight over it rather than putting an end to it by actually voting with the overall, the general people, right?
So would you have prohibited the 10-year-old girl from getting an abortion?
I would prefer that the general people, that we vote on it.
And what do you mean, vote generally, on it as a state, put every abortion up on a ballot?
I that's what I think we should do, yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting take. I never heard of that one. How about in vitro and fertilized eggs and people who keep those? Are those, or is that something that they should be responsible for, you know, in perpetuity? When, you know, people who are trying to have babies, a lot of times they'll fertilize more than one egg. And so there are fertilized, their conception, but they're frozen. Is that something that, you know, comes into play? Does, you know?
Yeah. What do you mean, like allowing it or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Can we? What about those fertilized feet? Those fertilized eggs? What can they do with those? Do they have to keep them? Keep them indefinitely, or can they be, I don't know, disposed of, I guess is the right word, after a certain amount of time? You know, I was just wondering.
Yeah, I think it's a complicated issue. On that particular one, I mean, my general opinion is we're as human beings, we're trying to act as God, and you know, I don't necessarily think that again, it's complicated, and I don't think I would ever you know do that. But you know, I think it's another one where we got to go to the details. We're never going to solve problems if we don't talk about details. Mm-hmm. So again, we leave it up to the voters. What do the voters think is acceptable or not, right? And the voters decide.
Doggone, Mr. Bowling. I could talk to you for another hour, but it looks like we're running out of time because I'm very interested. I'm Tom Stevens with the Union County Data Digital. We're talking to Mike Boland. He'll appear on your Republican ballot on August 2nd as Michael R. Boland, and he'll be running against the incumbent Tracy Richardson on the Republican ballots in the 86th district on August 2nd. And was there some last comments, something you want to say that I didn't get around to asking? That something you wrote? I wanted to talk about taxes too and bill reform. We just ran out of time, but it was
I can give you a quick break.
Yeah, that'd be great.
One goal is I want to take the money out of politics. We're never going to solve any problems until we get rid of the money from politics, and I want to bring the power back to the people in general. And I think one thing that the state of Ohio has to do, especially from a tax point of view, is we need to remove the income tax. We have a ton of money. We can spend the money wisely, and we can still buy most of the stuff that we want. We need to get rid of the gas tax. We need to do a lot of cuts, because especially now with the people struggling. So my goal from a tax point of view is to reduce the amount of taxes that the people are paying and that businesses have to pay. So Ohio is an open economy, and we grow because it's open.
Thank you very much. That's exactly what I needed right there. I'm sorry, we're running out of time. This is Tom Stevens on of Union County Matters here on WDLR, brought to you today by Mosier's Groceries and Meats, located at 21701 State Route 347. Mr. Boland, thank you very much for coming on our show. We'll be in contact, and we're going to have you on again because I got a lot more questions.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. This is Tom Stevens on WDLR.